Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
So this morning, we're going to broach on probably the most difficult parable to grasp and understand that Jesus told. And it's found in the Gospel of Luke. It will be part of chapter 16. And I just want the Holy Spirit to give us understanding. But also, in addition to understanding, the understanding doesn't really do us much good unless we, like, apply it, right? Unless we apply it, unless it becomes part of the fabric of who we are and who we're becoming, that changes our mind, the way we conduct ourselves, and the way we make decisions and live. And so it's one thing to have knowledge, but to have knowledge and not do it, that's like, you know, like the word says, you know, we know the word, but we don't do it. We need to be doers of his word. And so we're going to look at this parable this morning. There's going to be some other scriptures that come into it. And the parable is about the dishonest manager. And Jesus tells this story, and there are multiple points in this, and I'm not going to cover all of those, but we want to get to really is kind of the main, what I believe is the main point of this parable. And it is a difficult one to grasp. There are many who just kind of read this and have some thoughts and move on. But I feel like the Lord has brought the challenge to us, to me, to look at this passage of the dishonest manager. And in your Bible, the heading might have a different title depending on your translation. So before we look at this parable, we want to, you know, part of interpreting Scripture and the help of the Holy Spirit is to get context, right? That's very important. You know how this happens, right? How many of you text message? Yeah, there's more of you than raised your hand. Yeah, you throw out a text, and they misunderstand it. Yeah, right. Because it's hard in a text, because text messages are meant to be, I just wanted to share this with you. They are meant to be short. Now, if you are one of the people who have sent me a long text message, there's other people too, and I've sent long text messages. I'm guilty. Now, long for me is a totally different scale than long for some, but when you start doing text messages and the person goes, oh, wait, I'm going to have lunch and come back, okay? And you know, that. So, but it's hard sometimes in a text message to give context, right? And so it's misunderstood. It's a little different than sitting down here with Harry, and I say something, he says something, I say something back, and we can look in each other's eyes, and all of a sudden we can unfold context very quickly, right? Say yes.
Yes.
Thank you. I'm with you, Pastor. Right, okay. So that's hard to do. So when you look at the Scripture, there are verses that can stand alone and we pull out and it makes good sense and God uses it. But there are passages in Scriptures that we have to put in context so that we don't miss the fullness of what he's saying to you and I. Because these are the words of life. So if you look in, if we are going to read from chapter 16 on this occasion for this parable for us to put some pieces together, we've got to look at chapter 15, and I'm not going to read 15 to you, but very quickly highlight. Chapter 15, it starts out with a parable about a lost sheep. Many of you have heard this. If you haven't, I'm going to make some references quickly. You can go back and look on your own at some time or play and pause this message after it's up on our website in a few days. Lost sheep leaves the 99, goes and finds the one, right? Because, you know, for the one, that one person matters. It's about him leaving the 99 who are safe and going and getting the one who's lost. Now, this is about how we use the resources that God has given us. That's what this is about. This is about going, using resource, the resource of kindness, redeeming kindness. Okay? That is the resource. One of the resources that is being displayed here. The resource. Keep in mind throughout this morning about resource and how we use a resource that we've been given. Then it goes on to the lost coin. Now, a lost coin might not, it's like it's only a coin. What's the big deal? Well, you have to understand that this lost coin is one of the 10 coins, and I'll put it in our terminology for our day and age and what we live. It would be one of the 10 coins that a woman is given who has been proposed to be married. And when that day comes, she has to present those 10 coins, or the marriage is off, which now also disgraces the family and all of the contract. It's just a different world and time how they did things. And so when she lost one coin, yeah, she's looking for it, right? And it says that she rallied friends. Friends came and helped her find this coin. The resource, again, is it's not just a story about the coin, and it's not just about it being lost and found, and that is important. That is part of the understanding, the importance. But the part that we sometimes miss is the resource of people. That people came, and they were a resource that was well used to help her find the coin. It's a very important coin. Has to do with her life, her reputation, her future rests on this coin. Very important coin. And then you go into a parable of the lost son. And there's so many points throughout that parable of the prodigal son. But when it comes to the resource, I want you to remember in this parable, he comes to his father and says, "Give me my inheritance now. Give me my resources now." Now, his resource, he did something very different with. Okay? We look at one resource that it looked like it was going to be lost. There was a redeeming kindness that came. We look at a coin that was lost, and there was redemption made because there was recovery of the coin. And now we see a recovery of the son, but his resource was squandered. He squandered his resource to the point that he ends up being laying with the pigs and goes back home because he was going to see if he could work for his father because, you know, he wasn't necessarily in his mind a son of inheritance anymore. He got his, spent it on himself, and squandered it. So I want you to get the context in which Jesus now goes into this story about a dishonest manager. And I'm gonna read this, a portion of this. I want you to listen to the story. Even if you've heard it before, I want you to just open your ears and just listen to what the story that Jesus tells. He says, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought against this manager. because he was wasting some of the master's possessions. Dishonest manager. And so the owner called this manager in to himself, and he says, "What is this I hear about you? Turn in the account of your management." In other words, you're going to have to go get your records, get your books, come back in here, turn them in, and you are basically going to be done. You're fired. So as the dishonest manager, he leaves, the manager says to himself, "What shall I do? Since my master is taking the management away from me, I am not strong enough to dig," in other words, do hard manual labor, "and I am too ashamed to go out and be a beggar." He said, "I have decided what to do so that when I am removed from my position of management, people will receive me into their homes." In other words, I can't dig, and I don't want to beg, and I have to give an account, and I have lost my job. So how am I going to live? How am I going to make it? And he does something very interesting. He goes and gets the accounts, and before he goes back to the owner and who he answers to, this is what he does. Okay. So summoning his debtor, the master's debtors, one by one, he said to the first, "How much do you owe my master?" And he said, 100 measures of oil. He said to the man, "Take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. He just took a resource that he had access to and used it. He cuts the debt in half. Now, you and I know that that's still dishonest. It's stealing from the master. But for the person who owes, the debtor, "You just cut my bill in half." Those of you who are watching, you can't hear it, but somebody's cell phone just went off and was kind of playing a catchy little tune, so I figured I'd do a white man move. That's about it, okay? No offense to you white people without rhythm. Okay. Come up with a new tune. I'll do something different next week. It would be really, kicking and jiving and doing the whole deal. Okay. Side note. All right, here we go. So he cuts the bill in half, okay? And then he said to another, "How much do you owe, my master?" 100 measures of wheat. He said, "Take your bill and write down 80 that you owe him," instead of the full bill of 100. The master now, listen to this, the master who knows about what this dishonest manager is doing, okay, who comes back and presents the books, he says this, "The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. For the sons of this world are more shrewd." Listen to this. This is the part you and I need to catch. Part of it. "For the sons of the world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation, their own type, than the sons of light." Okay, this is where, I'll translate this way, in Christendom, there is a principle and a purpose here that you need to learn from the world. Ooh. Right? Ooh, ouch, yuck. There's a principle here that's at work. You can see the dilemma in understanding this parable, I'm sure. And it's not that you're not smart. This is just very difficult to grasp. All of it we see going pretty well. More corruption comes out. But then the master commends the dishonest manager for what he did.
He doesn't forgive him. He doesn't get his job back. We don't see any of that. Jesus says this, "And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth." Now, we have to translate unrighteous wealth. Unrighteous wealth, what he's referring to is make friends with the resources that you have in this world, okay? The earthly human level, the natural world, okay? It doesn't mean that your resource has to be unrighteous and filthy and you stole and you... No, no. Whatever resource you have access to in this life, use it to make friends. So that's what the dishonest manager is doing here. You get his story. You get his trouble. He doesn't want to dig. He can't beg. He's losing his job. And here now, he's reducing people's debts before he has to give the accounts turned in. He is making friends by reducing their debt. Here's the principle that's at work. The principle that we depend upon that has to do with reciprocity. You and I do this all the time. Somebody does something for you. At some point, you want to do what? You want to return the favor. You've done something nice to me. You've done something generous towards me. In reciprocity, in good faith, and in general understanding of some measure of goodness that might be in humanity, is that we are going to do something good back to you at some point. So this is what's going on in the corrupt manager's head. I'm going to reduce some debts. I'm going to show them a kindness with the resource that I still have access to and control over before I turn the books in and lose my job and I have no place. It's good. What I have is going to run out. So what am I going to do? And so he does this and he reveals so that when the wealth of this world, the unrighteous wealth, the means of this world, so that when they fail, when they run out, I will be able to rely upon these who I've been kind to. Now, I'm paraphrasing a little bit. So that they will take me into their homes. Listen, as I tell you, make friends for yourself by means of resource in this world. Okay? Sorry, I lost my place here. By the means of this world, so that when they fail, when they run out, I will be received into their homes. Or here, Jesus begins to reveal what this is about because he switches from the natural story to the spiritual story. So that they will receive me into their homes or into eternal dwellings. So I want to pause here. This reciprocity, this principle of being nice to someone, knowing that they will probably return a favor at some point. We don't get the inside scoop if he says, hey, listen, if I discount your bill this much, then you will owe me. We don't get that in this picture. It is simply taking resource and making friends, and through the principle of reciprocity, that they will at some point return a favor to me because they will look upon me as someone who did something for them. So there is this expectation that he has that because of this kindness, though it's corrupt, he is, when runs out of resource, he will have homes to stay in where he can go stay, where he can be fed, he can live with them for a while, he can move around. And so he's got this resource for his own sake. We think, well, why would the
the owner commend this guy. This is the story of Jesus. It just seems so difficult to grasp because we think about it on human terms. And we forget that when Jesus talks about things in human terms and things that we relate to, that there is this spiritual message to impact our lives, to change the way we are and the way we live, and how do we walk with God and honor Him. And so when we start to grasp some of the understanding that we're supposed to take our earthly resources to make friends, and that when they run out, we will have a place to stay. You see, earthly resources can make a path for that reputation of kindness and favors to be reciprocated to us when we have a need or find ourselves destitute or not knowing what to do. Now put it in the context of an eternal dwelling and eternal resources. If you will take the resources that God has given you, and we think right away in terms of money, right? Or things we have. And we should use those unrighteous resources to make friends, to bless others. We're going to explain this in a second. We're on the threshold here. In the spiritual, God has given you all kinds of resources, way beyond your checkbook. In His nature, His character, His virtue, there's the Spirit of the Lord and all that He is living in you and through you, that you can, through all of those things, make friends. That's part of your wealth in this world. And you think, well, I don't have much. I don't have wealth. I don't have a lot. Have you ever had a piece of cake? It could be as simple. Some of you didn't raise your hands, and I looked at you, and I know you've had cake. Because you're like me. I like cake. You can cut it in half. And you can give half to somebody. Right? Whatever you have, it doesn't have to be great. It has to be the resource of kindness. The resource of you matter. You look very sharp, young man. Smile at me. You do, you look sharp. So this resource about making friends. So how does this work in the kingdom? When we use resources that from this life and spiritual things that God has given us to make friends, we will be received, when this life runs out, we will be received into our eternal home. Now, salvation is not by works. Salvation is by faith through Jesus Christ, who paid the price for me. We are saved by grace through faith. As a result of this faith, you and I have responsibilities, right, in this life. Because we are saved, we change our life and live like Christ, live according to His word, His teaching, His principles. Absolutely. Okay? So salvation is not done by works, but we know that works justify our faith or what we believe. When we proclaim something, our life should back it up. Right? That's responsible faith. That's biblical. It's all throughout Romans and James, and that we're supposed to do this. So the question is, what do you and I do with our resources? Do we make friends with our resources? The teaching continues to go on here, and
being faithful with what God gives you. Now listen to this. One who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much. We confuse little and much. The real context here is, if you can be trusted to use little, little refers to earthly resource and earthly wealth. That's all little compared to the resources of God, His nature, His character, His virtue, His power, all that He is that is thrown into our life and kingdom principles. That is the much. That is the greater. The things of this life, these earthly resources, those are considered the little things. And it's this, if we are not faithful to make friends with earthly resources that have been given to us, to show His love, to show His care, if we don't show it in the little things, we will never show it with kingdom resources. You want to be great spiritually? You want to have all this power of God and all this virtue of God and just look really spiritual and like we got it all together? You and I will never have it all together and do that unless we learn how to use our earthly resources to bless and make friends. You'll never be given much. After this life is over and rewards are handed out and there's a new heaven and a new earth and we're living and there and He's going to give responsibilities. He's still going to have levels of leadership. There's going to be governing that happens. What you do in this life will bring you to an eternal home that has responsibilities in the greater things of God. You do not have to be wealthy with earthly things in this life and say, well, I only have little, and I'll try to be faithful with the little. Listen, you faithful with little in this life, it makes a way for being given much in the resources of God and your eternal home. See, this is why He's commending the shrewd, dishonest manager on the human plane. I'm taking resources, making friends, so that I will have a place to go. On the spiritual level, we are taking our resources in this life and the resources of God Himself in our life to make friends, to show what we believe, and it will lead us to our eternal home. He who is faithful with little, it doesn't mean this. It means earthly things. Because those are little compared to kingdom things. So whether we're poor or rich in this room, somewhere in between, it's about using the resources you have to make friends. Because this stuff will run out. You don't get to take it with you. And if you were faithful with little here, He will cause you to be faithful because He will give you much in the life to come. Proverbs 19:17 says something interesting. It says, give to the poor or others because it is like lending to God. Isn't that an interesting concept, that He's God Almighty and we have the opportunity to lend to Him? We're the ones that owe Him. But we get to lend to God by what we do with our unrighteous wealth, the things of this world. And it says this, when we do that and we give to people, poor, those who aren't poor, it's just when we give, He knows how to repay. Amen. And don't think for a moment that He doesn't repay with great interest because He's generous. He knows how to repay. It will change the way that you and I look at our earthly wealth and what are the purposes of the things that we own. Now, is it wrong for it to bring you pleasure? Is it okay to be able to have something and do something and something you enjoy? It's not a problem. It's just that when you look at the ledger, it has two columns. Self and others. Have I spent everything and done everything pretty much for myself? Now, I'm a Christian, of course, so I do tithe my 10%. But beyond that 10%, is it just the self column? Is there anything in the others column? Because Jesus goes on to say, listen, you cannot serve two masters. You will love one and hate the other. You cannot serve God and, it says mammon, or we can translate this from the parable as unrighteous wealth, the things of this world. Which one are you going to love? Because if we love God, there's going to be in one side of the ledger a whole lot of boxes checked when it has to do with others and making friends with them. You remember in Matthew, near the end of the book, I believe it's chapter 24, and Jesus talks about a parable where a master is going to go away and he gives to one 5 talents and he gives to another one 2 talents and he gives to another one 1 talent. He comes back and the one who had 5 talents says, here, master, I have made 5 more. And he goes, hey, well done. You took the resource and you multiplied it. Person with 3 comes in and says, I have made 3 more. Or sorry, 2 more. And had 2, made 2 more. Woohoo! Way to go. Good job. All right. Person who had 1 says, I know that you're a hard master. So I took the 1 talent and I went and buried it so I wouldn't lose it. He says, you are wicked. I am taking that from you, and the one that I'm taking from you, I'm going to give to the one who took 5 and doubled it. You and I have been given much resource in this life. Are you burying it? Are you just kind of keeping it tucked away somewhere? What in your life do you share with to make friends? I'm not talking about just giving it away, but giving experiences. Do you lend from your life? Do you give for someone to use or to have or to keep? See, make friends for yourself, because this is going to be measured by God when our breath and our resource of this life we leave behind. You were given much. You were given X amount of talents. You were given X amount of resources. And you have no friends to welcome you into your eternal dwelling. Because your column was filled with self, self. What's Jesus say further in Matthew? I believe it's 25, it's thereabouts. He says, unless you have given to the least, unless you have given to someone or others who maybe don't have the experience or have the resource that you have, if you've not given unto them, basically it's kind of like, it condemns you. It's from the when did we visit you, Lord, when you were in jail? When did we feed you when you were hungry? When did we clothe you when you were naked, Lord? We don't remember that. He says, you went and did these things for other people, and when you have done it for others, you have done what? You have done it unto me. Done it unto me. You have done that unto me. I've made friends. And it was a result of my faith.
And those results proved what I believed in my faith, and my faith through God's grace is going to lead me home. And I have made for myself, not on me, but understand the context, a welcoming party in eternal dwellings. Because what you and I do in this life, he notices, and it matters, and it impacts people. And we are here to be salt and light. What do you have that you can bless others with? And once a it doesn't always mean that you have to give it away. It's that you give away the grace, the kindness, time. Time! What a commodity. You can't make more of it. You and I are only given so much. Time. Take time for people. You got grandparents? When's the last time you went and visited with them? You got an elderly aunt in a nursing home? When's the last time you stopped by? You look from the outside in at people that maybe you know or don't know. And it's understand giving is not always need-based. In other words, well, if you're poor and in need, I'll give to you. But if you're a person who isn't in need and you're not poor, I'm not giving anything to you. What? Make friends. The influence of the kingdom of God through your resources into another person's life. Listen, don't necessarily do things so that you can get back. That's not the thing here. That's not the motive. It's that we give unto the Lord, and he knows how to repay and bless and prosper in this life, but really in the life to come. What will you do, what will I do with the things that I have? It's okay, it's appropriate to have certain things, and it's just kind of for you or for your use. I get it. But we got to look at the other column. So much in our life. You have a boat? When's the last time you took somebody else fishing who maybe doesn't have a boat? You got a pontoon? What about taking some people who maybe have never been on a pontoon or they haven't been since they're a kid? Take them for a ride. Buying somebody lunch. Taking time with them. You need a tool? Here it is. Use it. Use it. Do you know how to use it? Let me show you. Use it. Be safe. Bring it back when you're done. And it comes back in four parts. And they're hanging their head. That stuff's happened to me. So what? Then we get to throw another resource at them. So what? Don't worry about it. It's just a tool. Did you get the job done? Great. And go back and repair it or fix it or throw it in a box or throw it out. Replace it when you can. God keeps the books. And he's watching. And that's not a guilt thing.
This is a, listen, I want you to be blessed. I want you to make friends. I want you to have influence in this world. And I want it so that when you go home to eternity, there is a great welcoming there. I mean, I don't know how this all works because I'm not there and I don't want to preach something as the truth that's not, but for the sake of principle and understanding and motivation to some extent, let me use this human story of you transport and graduate from this life, you believed in Jesus and you get there and they say, come on in, reasonably well done, and you come through the gates and you go, I made it, and no one showed up for your homecoming. I didn't make any friends with the little, the earthly stuff. I will not be entrusted with the really important things of God's kingdom because I wasn't faithful with my piece of cake. Gave somebody half. Why don't you stand up, please, all over this room. There's a lot of generous people in this church. They are such a great example to so many. It's not the amount of the gift. Listen, it's not the amount. It's that we're making friends. I'm going to tell you something. And this has been at different places where we have been or ministered or pastored. There's an occasion where they call it pastor appreciation. I'm just telling a story from my own life. It's not about me. It's not about pastor appreciation. That's not what this is about. But it's on that occasion, we get a card. From a lady that is older. She lives on her own. And there's two $1 bills in it. She's taking her resources and she's making a friend. And she is paving a way for her eternal home, to be trusted with greater things because she was faithful with the little, the things of this world. Is $2 going to change my life? In the natural, no. But in the spiritual lesson and example, it's going to totally change my life. It's totally changed my life. To share things. To do things. To give time. It's how I want to be faithful with what he's given me. To make friends. You've made a friend. You let me ride with you in your big old jacked up shiny truck. He used it for the kingdom, not just to run around in. Now he probably has a little pride in that truck. It's cool. But he gave the preacher a ride from here to Cottage Grove, Wisconsin. It's not about Cottage Grove, Sal. The story's not about Cottage Grove. I'm glad you used to live there. The story's not about Cottage Grove. He made a friend. He gave this little boy a ride. And it was cool, and I liked it. But I'll still tell you, the best part was about hanging out with you. Because time is a commodity, and I want to give it. That's how you spell love. We're called to be a living church here on earth, man. We only get one shot at this. You want to be light and salt? You want to make a difference? You want the master to be happy with you? Well done. Manage your resources, and it doesn't mean save it all. It means give it. Spend it. Borrow it. Loan it. The $2, I point back here, she's not here today, and I don't mean to embarrass her. The $2, helps keep this heart tender. Helps keep this boy loaning stuff, giving stuff. Some stuff that never came back. Who cares if we did it unto him? How you treat others is your worship unto the Lord. I'm not saying be foolish. I'm not saying be impulsive. The Bible talks against that. I'm talking about a change of heart and a life practice and worshiping the Lord. And he keeps the books. And if you and I will be faithful with the little, the earthly things, we will be entrusted. You will be entrusted with the greater things. That's the kingdom things. Well done, good and faithful servant, because you learned a principle that the world understands from a dishonest manager that got commended, not for his thievery, but he understood a principle. He used it in this life, and it led to corruption, and it didn't save him. But on the spiritual, if we can take that principle, you'll be the living church and shining brightly. And you'll make a welcoming party when it comes time for your eternal home. Because you made friends. In the name of Jesus, you made friends. Bow your head with me, please.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.